Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Skipper Limited Q4 FY 2026 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Sahadeo from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of ICICI Securities, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY 2026 earnings call of Skipper Limited. Today, we have with us from the management, Mr. Sharan Bansal, Mr. Devesh Bansal, Mr. Shivsankar Gupta, their CFO, and Mr. Aditya Dujari, AVP Finance and IR. Without any further ado, I hand over the floor to the Skipper management for their opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to all participants joining us today for the Skipper Limited earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and full financial year ended 31st March 2026. We sincerely appreciate your continued interest and support. FY 2026 has been a defining year in Skipper's journey, marked by record financial performance, strong execution across all business segments, and significant progress on our strategic priorities. If I were to describe FY 2026 in one line, I would say this has been a year where execution, scale, and operating discipline have come together to deliver record performance across all metrics. Over the past few years, we have been building a manufacturing-led, scalable, and globally competitive platform, and FY 2026 reflects the early outcomes of that strategy, not just in terms of growth, but in margin expansion, improved return ratios, and stronger cash generation. Let me begin with the fourth quarter performance, which was our strongest quarter to date. We delivered highest ever quarterly revenue of 1,666 crores, registering a growth of 29.4% year-on-year, driven by strong execution across business segments. The engineering segment continued to lead growth with revenue of 1,248 crores, up over 33% year-on-year, reflecting strong demand and improved throughput. Most importantly, profitability scaled meaningfully. EBITDA increased 40.2% year-on-year to 173.4 crores. EBITDA margins expanded to 10.4% compared to 9.6% last year. PAT increased 70% year-on-year to 75.6 crores, with margins improving to 4.5%. This strong bottom-line growth underscores the benefit of scale, improved cost structure, and disciplined execution. Importantly, we continue to strengthen our financial profile, with finance cost as a percent of sales reducing to 3.3% versus 4.4% last year quarter, reflecting better working capital efficiency and improved balance sheet discipline. Moving on to full year performance, FY 2026 has been a record year for Skipper. We achieved highest ever annual revenue of 5,552.8 crores, representing a growth of 20% year-on-year. The engineering segment grew 24% year-on-year to rupees 4,359 crores, reflecting strong demand in transmission infrastructure. The polymer segment crossed 500 crores, delivering its highest ever revenue with strong volume growth. Profitability improved consistently during the year. EBITDA margin expanded to 10.3%, driven by operating leverage and higher quality order execution. Finance cost reduced to 3.9% of sales, improving earnings quality. We delivered our highest ever PAT of 207.3 crores, a growth of 42% year-on-year, with margins expanding to 3.7%. In addition, we saw improvement in return ratios. ROE improved to 14.1% compared to 12.3% last year. ROC, return on capital employed, remained stable at 21%. Debt to EBITDA remained stable at 1.6x. Debt equity at 0.62 times, indicating controlled leverage. Overall, the year reflects a balanced improvement across growth, margins and capital efficiency, which is a key focus area for us. Order book, inflows and visibility. Turning to order book and growth visibility, we closed the year with our highest ever order book of 8,501.9 crores, supported by record annual inflows of 5,678 crores. Quarter four order inflow stood at 1,029 crores. The order book remains well diversified with 90% domestic and 10% export mix. A key milestone during the year was securing a large multi-million dollar order from a leading North American utility, which marks a significant milestone in strengthening our position in developed markets. And also, we are currently working with PGCIL in 25 active projects. We are currently executing approximately 5,000 circuit kilometers of EHV and HVDC transmission projects, reflecting both scale and complexity of our operations. Our bidding pipeline remains strong at over 33,000 crores, providing strong visibility for future order inflows. Operating leverage and capacity expansion. During the year, we made significant progress in strengthening our manufacturing capabilities, technological edge, and global position. Our capacity expansion of 75,000 tons is progressing well, and we are on track to reach 450,000 tons per year capacity by June 26. Utilization level has remained strong and are above 85%, indicating strong demand and execution momentum. As utilization increases further, we expect incremental volume to drive higher margin expansion, reflecting the structural operating leverage of our manufacturing company. FY26 has also been important for capability building perspective. We successfully commissioned Testbed 2, making us the only company global with dual testbed facilities at the same location, significantly enhancing our testing capabilities and global competitiveness. We also successfully completed plant audits across North America, Middle East, LATAM, Australia and Europe, strengthening our global qualification base. We also went go-live successfully with SAP S/4HANA RISE, enabling better process control, real-time visibility, and scalable operations. Additionally, we also received the Great Place to Work certification for the fifth consecutive year, reflecting strong organization capability. I'd like to talk about the sector outlook. The outlook for the power transmission sector remains very strong and structurally positive. India continues to witness significant investment in transmission infrastructure, driven by renewable energy integration, grid expansion and electrical initiatives. The NEP outlines a multi-year capex pipeline, creating a sustained demand visibility. While FY26 saw some temporary moderation in ordering due to execution site constraints, primarily due to challenges such as increased right-of-way and forest clearance timelines on the ground, and extended delivery cycles for critical equipment such as transformers and HVDC, which resulted in slower than expected bidding activity by CEA, allowing the industry time to strengthen execution capability. But the underlying tender pipeline continues to remain very strong, supported by robust transmission capex linked to renewable integration, grid expansion and system strengthening. Order awarding is expected to accelerate significantly from FY27, approaching FY25 levels. With this, I open the floor to questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Bala Subramaniam from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So my first question on the trade receivable side, it's almost double in FY26 compared to FY25, 1,485 crore, despite 20% growth. You could share what is exact things are there. Is there any project-based billing cycles or any customer concentrations, or is there any overdue position?
Yes, sure. So, firstly, I'd like to mention that our trade receivables, none of them are sticky debtors. They're all running debtors with good quality customers. The reason for increase in debtors is there are 2-3 reasons for that. Number one was due to a technical reason, close to about 260 crores of funds, which were supposed to really receive on the last week of March, was received on the 1st and the 2nd of April. And because of that, we could not show it, obviously, as realized debtors in the month of March. So that inflated the debtors by 260 crores. Also, I'll just continue. Also, the domestic revenue has seen an increase of close to about 45% year on year, which is, let's say, this year quarter four compared to last year quarter four, we saw an increase in domestic revenue by close to about 45%. And domestic, as we have maintained in the past also, it has a higher realization cycle compared to exports. And that 45% coupled with GST amount has inflated the overall debtor number. So this is the primary reason. The 260 crores, which was due to technical reasons, could not be realized in the month of March, and the growth of domestic revenue as compared to exports, because exports had a challenge due to the current ongoing geopolitical challenges. Export revenue took a hit in the last year, quarter four. So because of this, the debtor number is seemingly high. However, we have already realized close to about 600 to 700 crores of debtors in the month of April itself, out of this debtors which you are seeing in the month of March. I hope that answers your question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Disha from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, thank you so much for this opportunity. So, a couple of questions from my side. Firstly, on the order book, currently we have an order book outstanding for around 8,500 CR and a bidding pipeline of 3,000. So, what sort of conversion ratio are we looking at?
Sorry, could you repeat your question, please?
So, the bidding pipeline of 3,000 crores, what sort of conversion ratio are we looking at?
We in the past we have achieved a conversion ratio of anywhere between 20 to 25%, and we hope to definitely maintain that with this bidding pipeline as well.
So around 8,500 sort of order inflow can be targeted.
I mean, it's a between 20 to 25%, ma'am. So hard for me to put a number, but that's what we have seen historically in the past.
Okay. And coming on to your growth, so you've always maintained 20 to 25% sort of year-on-year growth. Are we still also that guidance still holds for FY27 and beyond?
For FY27, we are giving a guidance of 15% growth on revenue and approximately a 30% growth in bottom line.
So we have the order book visibility, so we're still adding for 15% sort of growth clip. So are we seeing any challenges in execution?
In terms of execution, we are, obviously, see, exports are a concern right now, as because of the ongoing geopolitical challenges. Export growth has been a concern last year, and it continues to remain a concern, though the opportunities in export markets are, very, very large, and we are obviously in discussions with many large contracts in the export markets. However, the execution, actual execution of those will likely probably not be coming this year. And so that is one of the reasons why we have a conservative guidance of 15% on the top line.
Okay. And you also mentioned in your commentary that FY26, we saw some extended timelines for this equipment deliveries for transformers and HVDC. How is the position now? Have you seen any pickup?
These continue to remain a constraint, and which is why we saw lower than expected bidding activity in FY26. Now we've seen some of those bidding activities pick up again, because obviously the overall work to be done in the transmission sector is very large, and the bidding has rebounded in the month of April itself. The on the ground execution, well, these equipment constraints and the ROW constraints remain. So that is an ongoing activity, and that again has to be seen on a project to project basis.
Okay, all right, fair enough. And so on the CAPEX, for any sort of guidance, what sort of CAPEX are we expecting for FY27?
We have for FY27, our CAPEX guidance will be similar to previous years. It will be between about 250 crores.
And this six, so by June end, I think we'll be around 450,000 sort of metric tons capacity. And I think you mentioned that by FY28, we'll be targeting to reach 6 lakh metric tons. Is that correct?
Correct. That's right.
Yeah. How would the scale up be?
As in like the capacity.
The additional capacity expansion. Yeah.
So we are planning about 75 this year and again 75 next year.
So the current 75,000 will come by June, and then post that, when are we targeting?
I meant post June. This current 75 that is coming online at 450, this is a spillover from last year, which we were expecting to commission in March, but now that is extended till June. But the new capacity expansion, post this 450, we'll be taking on another 75 plus 75 in the next two financial years, which is FY27 and 20.
So the first phase of the 75,000 metric will be ready by FY27 end?
Yeah, expectedly, yes.
Okay. And also you mentioned...
Sorry to interrupt, Ms. Disha. May we please request you to rejoin the queue, ma'am? Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Abhijit Singh from Systematics. Please proceed.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Good evening, Sharan sir. Good to see a great set of results, both on revenue and margin fronts. First question would be on the exports, sir. We've seen some kind of weakness in both order inflows and execution in Q4. So on the outlook of exports, and particularly... the execution, order inflow, and margins. So, just want some commentary on the outlook in the near term. And have we thought about a change in strategy, because Middle East was one of our main export markets? So, is there a possibility of redirecting some of the order inflows, or trying to target some of the order inflows from other geographies that we are present in, let's say LATAM or Southeast Asia? That is my first question.
Yeah, so Middle East definitely is a concern right now. However, we expect that the situation should ease up soon there. So the order inflow as well as the execution should resume from that market. We are obviously diversifying to other markets, as we've reported that we've secured a large contract from North America in this quarter also. We are in discussions with other large contracts for other large contracts in those developed markets like North America and Europe and Australia. And of course, our traditional markets like Africa, LATAM, etc., we are focusing there more to make up the order loss from the Middle East market. So I think all in all, our long-term trajectory of increasing our export order book to about 25% and then eventually 50%, that's very much our long-term target. And we are working towards that. Of course, this year, currently, because of all these geopolitical issues, we are facing a temporary blip in towards that target.
Sir, is there a impact on other export markets other than Middle East of this entire situation of geopolitics on decision-making or ordering, let's say North America or LATAM or South Asia? So because of this, all of this uncertainty and geopolitical issues, is there an impact on decision making and ordering situation there as well?
There is an impact not on the demand side, but there is an impact because of the freight, the sea freight increasing.
Right.
So overall, the customers are taking a longer time to decide as because they have to bear the increased sea freight now. So that is, I think the customers may wait for the sea freight to rationalize again, because right now after the, since the war started, the sea freights have gone up significantly.
Absolutely. And sir, so given all this, would we be able to, you know, maintain our margins of 10-odd%, or do we have levers to maintain that kind of margin because of the increased input cost and increased freight cost, etc.?
No, the freight cost, again, the freight cost doesn't impact us because A, the, you know, our export is only about 10% of our order book. And on top of that also, we have a healthy mix of FOB and CIF contracts. And because even the CIF contract with force majeure conditions, etc., we are able to renegotiate the ocean freight. So we don't expect any hit to us on the account of the ocean freight. On account of the commodity prices, etc., as we maintained in the past, we have a healthy mix of variable price and firm price contracts. And firm price contracts come with significant amounts, you know, sufficient buffer to take care of the commodity price increase. So we don't expect, you know, much of an impact on our margins.
Right, sir. Thanks a lot for answering the questions. All right. Come back in queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the question queue, please restrict your questions to 2 per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. Next question is from the line of Aditya Vilekar from Access Securities. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you, and congrats for the good set of numbers. So my question is with respect to our order bid pipeline. It's quite healthy at 33,000 crore, and our exports are just 10% of our order book. So, means given you have just told that we are targeting 15% top line growth next year. So, means we have a large amount of domestic market to cater. So, can we not diversify from exports to domestic and focus on domestic and maintain our top line growth at 20% Just wanted to understand that part.
The domestic ordering also, as I've mentioned, that FY26 we saw lower than expected bidding. A lot of key projects, transmission projects for which we were expecting to be bid last year, they have shifted to this year. For example, you know, the Krishnagiri Res Phase 1 project, the Vizag Kakinada Tuticorin project, and also the 800 kV Rajasthan Bamar project. So these, which we were expecting the bidding to come last year, they've all shifted to this year because of the constraint in the critical equipment like transformers, HVDC, and of course the ongoing challenges of ROW, etc. at site. So if you see overall in the industry for the bidding in FY26, it was significantly lower than FY25. So our order inflow, though we have maintained our overall order inflow of 5,600 crores, which is better than last year, but it is still lower than our own estimation. So I think domestic, there is whatever the scope is there to maximize our effort will be there to maximize the domestic sales in exchange of the export, this thing. But we want to be conservative, and that's why we are giving a conservative guidance of 15% growth for on this elevated base.
And subsequent years, means if on a long-term basis, the growth rate will continue?
No, of course, absolutely. From next year onwards, definitely, like I mentioned, this year we expect the bidding activity to be very, very robust. And obviously, we also expect that the export markets, they will open up again towards the later part of the year. So I think with both the things opening up, for sure we can expect to come back to 20-25% growth run rate from next year onwards.
My second question is on margin guidance for 27. So we have a huge bid pipeline. So if you can throw some color on what kind of quality of projects in that bid pipeline are there which can enhance our margins, because you said our bottom line will grow by 30%. So from that perspective, if you can throw some color on the bid pipeline, from where those bids and where those projects will translate to our order book, will they be margin accretive from that perspective?
Yeah, so there are two parts to your question. I'll address the second part first, is about our confidence on the bottom line front. So that's because the bottom line growth which we are guiding for, that is a resultant of our existing order book itself, which is due for execution. So looking at the quality of that order and looking at, the overall our execution, which is why that confidence of 30% growth in bottom line is there. That is not linked to the orders which we are targeting, because the orders which we secure will, some of them are linked for execution in this year and majority will come for execution next year. In terms of the bidding pipeline, it's a healthy mix of domestic and international. Like I mentioned to the previous caller, that we are diversifying our exports from Middle East and we are looking at other markets more aggressively, including developed markets like North America, so from which we have secured a good order in this last quarter also. So I think overall we should be able to diversify the export base quite well and start securing those large export orders, from this year itself.
So just on the margin guidance on FY27, if you specifically throw some number on that,
on a beta margin, again, look, we have, if you see, this year we have delivered, almost a 50 basis point improvement compared to last year. Obviously, our effort will be to continue to improve our margins and achieve our long-term aspirational margins of 12%. Now, how much of that we will be able to do this year? It is a challenging year with increased costs, etc. So, again, despite that, we definitely should be able to increase margins, but I'm not able to give an exact guidance of how much it will translate to the EBITDA. But long term, we will definitely move towards our aspirational margin of 12%.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Naman Parmar from Niveshaay Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving the opportunity. So just I wanted on the industry side perspective that if we see that the overall NEP plan for the transmission distribution of 9.2 trillion, out of that 4.25 trillion is already done. I think by 27 it will be ending and 4.25 would be for the next 5 years. And the new transmission capex that the government has come up with the for renewable evacuation, the 7.2 trillion. So don't you think the opportunity is given that the NDP plan and all the evacuation provides a very good fundamental to grow in the coming future given your growth guidance. So I just wanted to understand what was the PGCIL tenders that has been floated in the FY26, because if we see PGCIL tenders for last 2-3 years that has been majorly increased from 25,000 crore to 36,000 crore in FY26. So just wanted understanding on that side that how much the tenders have been floated and how much tenders you are able to win from that.
No, so actually it is not a question of only PGCIL tenders. As you all know that the tenders are floated by PFC, REC and all tenders are TBCB tenders, tariff-based competitive bidding, where PGCIL is one of the bidders. And along with several other private sector developers. So it is one thing that PGCIL has been able to maintain successfully a market share of 50% in all these TBCB bids. But it is not in the hands of PGCIL because they are dependent in terms on the ministry and PFC REC for those bids to come out. Now, the bid volume itself has been lower compared to FY25 as because the sector is already carrying a huge order backlog and the execution is slow, as I mentioned, due to ROW and due to critical equipment. So which is why I think CEA purposely held back the bidding in FY26. But it is expected now even in PGCIL CAPEX guidance, they have guided that annually we can expect to see bids of 90,000 to 1 lakh crores coming up in the market. So they have been guiding that in their investor presentations also. And also, they have guided for increase of capex spending. So, they themselves did capex of 35,000 crores in FY26. and they have guided for 37,000 crores in FY27 and 45,000 crores in FY28. So which is why I think that they are also guiding that in FY27 they are expecting to see good amount of order inflows, which will translate to that higher amount of capex in FY28.
Understood. That was about the PGCIL. Then rest would be your Adani, Sterlite and Tata Power that also used to come with the major order. So how much would be we will be bidding for that private player? And current order book consists of how much from the PGCIL orders or utility?
Current order book in domestic is predominantly Power Grid. We have less than 10% share from the private player right now, but we are looking to increase and do business with other private players like Tata Power. They are now quite aggressive. Of course, Adani, Rezonia, all of them, are now coming up in the market quite aggressively. So we are looking to do business with them as well.
Okay, understood. And lastly, on that you mentioned about the 33,000 crore of bid pipeline. So if you can bifurcate, how much would be the domestic and how much would be the export side?
I think about 60 to 65% is domestic and the balance is export.
Okay, understood. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bharat Sharma from 3 Sigma Asset Management Managers LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. First and foremost, congratulations, Mr. Sharan, for a brilliant set of results. I just wanted to understand your views in the entire space. Two things. One is that I see that you people are coming out with regular capex and capacity increases. And with whatever guidance you are giving, you are probably going to stay in the range which of your current capacity utilization. But as my earlier, person asked, that market is too huge, right? So just wanted to understand your view that what constrains us from probably increasing it to much many fold than what rate we are going in. Thanks.
As in increasing capacity faster?
Yeah, I just wanted to check that. Because obviously the market provides a lot of more opportunities, right? Is my understanding right or wrong? I don't know.
Sure. Well, I think, we are increasing capacity in tune with the execution capability also. Because, our business is very involved in terms of engineering output and it is very manpower heavy. So I think it is not just about capacity building, it's also about capability building. So at the same time, what we are doing is that we are having to add a lot of skilled manpower, a lot of engineering skills, and that also is a big constraint in terms of execution. So, and of course, if we try and increase capacity too much, and then we will probably have to compromise somewhere on the margins perhaps. So exports, anyway, the growth is slow, where we are dependent on a lot of approvals and certifications and, various plant audits that we have to go through in the export market. So there is a time cycle for realizing the export opportunities also. And in domestic, of course, as the market is expanding, we are also expanding our presence in the transmission line space. At the same time, we are increasing our total addressable market by adding other segments like substations into our portfolio. We are already executing close to about 4 high voltage substations right now. And that will help us build our QR and be able to address the other big part of the overall transmission line capex, which is the substation portion. So I think in terms of growth, we are quite happy. We have delivered, a plus of 30-35% CAGR growth in the last 3 years. And even on this elevated base, again, I think leaving aside, the temporary this year, which is, where we're guiding for a 15% growth, we are quite confident that we'll come back to 20-25% growth numbers from next year.
Thanks. I just want to check this substation comes under the infrastructure EPC guideline.
Correct. Yes, it does.
And so it's a slightly lower margin business. Is my understanding right?
No, that's not true. It's similar margins to our engineering business.
Okay.
The infra business itself, yes, of course, is lower margins. But overall, for a project basis, yes, it's similar margins.
Okay. Right. And sir, would you like to actually also share your views in terms of the overall, I'll say we hear a lot about, I'll say, shortages of transformers and shortages of a lot more other, I'll say, products in this entire space. Would you like to share your views on this entire industry?
It is a constraint not just in India, but all over the world, I would say. We are seeing the same shortages of critical equipment in pretty much every market where we are active in. So it is definitely a bottleneck for faster project execution. I think various utilities all over the world are trying their own strategies for overcoming this. So it is a constraint right now, definitely.
Thanks. Thank you. And best wishes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Divyansh Thakur from Fintrust Capital. Please proceed.
Hi, my question was already asked.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pranjal Mukherjee from Growth Sapphire Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, please.
So thank you for giving me this opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Sir, I have two questions. So the first question is actually around the HVDC-based transmission infrastructure build-up that we're going to see between the period of FY28 and FY32. I think there are some five, six projects that are going to get bid out under the TBCB and with like a total capacity of close to 15,500 circuit kilometers. So just wanted to understand, like, how are we placing ourselves to capture some of this opportunity? I understand PCL is the, you know, has the largest market share, but like, are we also like trying to reach out to the private players here and, you know, trying to create some sort of relationship there? In this question, I wanted to also understand in the current order book, what is the like proportion of HVDC that we have? That's the first question.
Okay. HVD, so definitely we are focused on taking business from the private players. Right now our share, our market share from the private players in our order book is low, but we intend to definitely increase it in the future, and we are in active discussions with a number of them for doing that. For HVDC, in our current order book, I don't have the numbers offhand, but we are executing a couple of projects of HVDC already, so we are fully qualified for that opportunity. And yes, some of the HVDC projects which were due for bidding last year, they have shifted to this year. So they will definitely be bidded this year, and subsequently more such HVDC projects will be coming, for which we definitely will be playing an active role both with Power Grid as well as private utilities.
Right. And so secondly, I just wanted to understand from a technical point of view, you know, we mentioned that we recently commissioned Testbed 2 and we've become the world's only company with dual test bed facilities, which can provide an integrated setup for, you know, lattice towers and monopoles. So if you could just like spread some color on this as to like why this is so significant, and generally like why are we the only company in the world, you know, having this capability now, and why are other players not able to do this?
No, so again, there are other test beds perhaps with other players. However, we are the only company having a dual test bed in the same location. So that's a big advantage for international customers, because they are able to witness simultaneous testing of multiple structures at the same time, so which is very useful for international customers. And that is a unique ability that we have. And also the other thing that we, other significant capability of our test bed is that it is the highest capacity in the world. So it has the capability to test the highest voltage towers. In fact, for this quarter, we set the world record of testing the heaviest tower ever tested, which was a single tower of 293 tons. Now we are going to break our own world record by testing another tower of 350 tons next month. So these kind of heavy towers testing capability doesn't exist in most test beds on the world. So according to us, it probably we are the only test bed all over the world which has the capability to test these heavy capacity towers. And of course, with the dual test bed, then we have the ability to test multiple of them in the same location. So this is significant because engineering and testing is a very important activity before which without completing, the main execution of the transmission line cannot happen. So with our enhanced capability, we are able to bring down the lead time required for the entire engineering activity and ensure faster execution for our customers.
So does the customer actually give a higher preference to a potential supplier with such kind of a setup?
Of course, absolutely. Because overall, the project lead time, like I said, their engineering and testing is a significant amount of lead time in addition to the supply. So not only are we able to give the supplies faster, but because we are able to do the engineering and testing faster, so that brings down the overall lead time for the customer.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Komal Iyer from NBG Investments. Please proceed.
Good evening, sir. I just wanted to understand your guidance. What you said was 15% on revenue and PAT growth 30%. So PAT growth would be 30% despite the inflationary pressures on raw materials which we are likely to see.
Yes, absolutely. Because like I mentioned, our contracts have already got that buffer to absorb the increased prices which we have seen.
Okay, and any particular raw material which you are seeing short supply, which you said last year led to delay in the orders, you know? I mean, government also delayed granting orders due to ROW and shortage of critical equipment. So how is the shortage of equipment now in this year?
That is different, ma'am. So that is not our raw material. The shortages is in the critical equipment which goes into the transmission line and substations, which is the transformers and the HVDC equipment, because without which the system cannot be commissioned, and which is why the bidding activity itself was curtailed by the government. So,
okay,
but
and how is the thing on our raw material front?
There's no constraint because we only... Our raw material is 100% indigenous. We don't have any import content. So our raw material, there is absolutely no disruption whatsoever.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saumil Jain from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Congrats on a good set of numbers. I just wanted to understand the HVDC opportunity.
Sorry to interrupt, Saumil, your voice is breaking.
Is this better?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to understand the HVDC side of the opportunity better. Per 1,000 kilometers or per line, if you could call out the TAM for our product. And secondly, the share of EHV, orders in our order book today or in revenues, any sense on that would be helpful.
HVDC, Shamik, I don't have anything else to add than what I told the previous caller. We saw some HVDC projects which were due for bidding last year, particularly this Bamar project in Rajasthan. That's shifting to this year. So we expect the bidding to happen this year for those projects and several other HVDC projects also to come for which we will play an active part. In terms of EHV, almost all the projects that we are doing are falling in the 400 kV and 765 kV or 800 kV category. So they are pretty much almost 100% EHV focused only.
Okay, so I wanted to understand the per line or per 1,000 circuit kilometers opportunity size for our products. That is something that I wanted to understand.
That will vary from project to project. It's hard to put a benchmark number on that. But essentially, look, we cater to 50% of the overall transmission capex, which is, let's say, if the transmission capex is 1 lakh crores annually, then our addressable market is 50,000 crores on the lines front. The other 50,000 crores primarily goes to substation, for which also now we are evolving as a key player. But there, again, we will take time to ramp up our sales in that sector. But as of now, obviously, we are the entire 50,000 crores of transmission line portion is fully our addressable market.
Got it. And you made a comment adding the quality of projects that will lead to, you know, better margins. This is the visibility that you have from your order book today. Is that a function of higher 765 kV and higher HVDC share in the order book? Is that how we should interpret that?
Yeah, in terms of the quality of orders, we have been maintaining that with the, you know, earlier we had a lot of non-T&D sales in the company also, which were lower margins. You know, now our sales are predominantly for T&D, and which is why our margins have seen an improvement, you know, along with operational leverage. Going forward, there are several opportunities that we are working on, you know, with better product mix, you know, more monopoles, more export markets. There definitely we also see opportunities for increasing margins.
Understood. That was all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gunjan Kabra from Niveshaay. Please proceed.
Hi, Sharan. Congratulations for the good set of numbers. Thank you for the opportunity. So first thing is that where do you think is the highest bottleneck right now in the transmission system in terms of lead time as well? So is it more on the higher KV side and the larger part of the order tendering that you said right now in the call of around 90,000 to 1 lakh crores this year? Would be predominantly more on the higher KV side or distributed evenly between all the KVs? How is it going to be?
No, I think definitely, Gunjan, the bulk of the capex will happen on the higher voltages. Having said that, we are seeing, you know, a growth in lower voltages now also. Recently, what we have started seeing is that earlier, most of the large TBCB projects were on interstate basis only. But now, even in intrastate, you know, there also we are seeing good amount of bidding activity happening. Certainly in those, currently the intrastate projects that have come for bidding, they are of only high voltage of 400 kV or 765 kV. But I have a feeling that even the lower voltage projects of 132, 220 kV, we will see those coming up under TBCB bidding soon. Because I think Government of India is promoting most of this capex to come through TBCB as because there's a lot of private sector interest to become transmission line developers. We have seen an increase in the overall number of players bidding in all of these TBCB projects.
Got it. But if we see on the execution front that, you know, you said 15% growth this year. So is it because of the clearance and the ROW issues? Will they get accelerated now because of the transmission bottleneck, because renewables is already getting installed and everything? So are these processes going to be accelerated now in terms of clearances? Or because maybe the timeline when you take the order, the timeline is defined, right? So is it that the timeline of our orders is for the next year or it has got delayed?
No, I think you know, 15% is not a bad growth number to take on, you know, on this elevated base.
Correct.
Again, why it cannot be more aggressive? Obviously, our effort will be to grow 20-25%. We're giving a conservative guidance because right now, like I said, number one reason is exports are at a bit of a challenging situation and there is not full visibility of when Middle East markets will open up again and when overall global shipping rates will come down. So that's probably the number one reason. Number two, probably last year, looking at the muted bidding activity that took place, you know, of course, you know, so even our order inflow was lower than our expectation, although we did better than the previous year, but it was lower than our expectation. So I'd say that as a combination of these factors, you know, 15% is a reasonable number to take up. Obviously, our effort will be to go higher than that.
Yeah, but generally order bidding is fine. I mean, that was a little slow last year. That was for any XYZ reasons. But we have the order in place, right? And I'm just from the considering from the end user demand. I mean, the demand is of building up the transmission network is also high. So from that perspective, I was asking whether the execution is getting delayed because of because there are a lot of externalities.
We are seeing, of course, look, project timelines on the ground are getting extended because of the right-of-way constraint. So definitely, though even though we are carrying a healthy order book, definitely the order execution at on the ground is probably not to the with the scheduled timelines, you know, because ROW etc. constraints do delay the projects.
And also on the export side, if we take some orders from the US and other countries, Latin America and all, so what's the execution timeline in those countries? Because it varies, right, from country to country.
Yeah, of course. So again, you know, it could depend on, there are various types, you know, again.
Will we be competitive in the US market firstly?
We are quite competitive. Again, our products are engineering heavy and manpower intensive. So we have been competitive. We have been winning orders in those markets, and we are obviously targeting much larger orders there in that market, in that geography, and of course in a lot of other geographies as well.
Okay, and the timeline, sorry, you were saying.
Yeah. Timeline again would depend whether the the contracts are with engineering or without engineering. So again, contracts which we see come with engineering, there the timelines are significantly long, could be two and a half years plus also. But again, without engineering, you know, the timelines could be shorter. You know, could be as low as one and a half years also.
Okay. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Thank you,
Kunjan. Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Singh from Systematix. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity once again. So on the polymer products business, for the full year, we have done about 507 crores of revenue. And as far as I understand, we've been targeting some of the non-Eastern markets where we had lower presence compared to the Eastern market. Where are we in that journey, and if you could comment on the basis of market share and the competition that you're facing. And also on the margin of the same business, it is still at a level which we would want to improve from. So on both these aspects, if you can throw some color.
Abhijit, can you repeat the question, please?
Sir, polymer products business, for the non-Eastern markets, we were trying to gain market share on the northern market and the western markets. So where are we in that journey? Have we been able to gain market share in this year? If you can comment market-wise, if possible. And what is our margin target for this business?
Are you asking what is the growth in other non-Eastern markets? Is that what you're asking?
Right. Have we been able to achieve what we were targeting for? Let's say gaining market share from a lower base in non-Eastern markets.
So it is growing, definitely. You know, if you see our overall volume growth has been quite significant despite a challenging market in the polymer sector overall. But a lot of players have reported flat growth last year. We have grown our volumes by close to about 40%. Due to lower commodity prices, perhaps the actual growth has been lower in terms of value. But we have obviously increased our presence in the non-Eastern market. But of course, compared to the larger national players, our presence is obviously small. We are predominantly focused still on the Eastern region and are likely going to be so in the near future.
Right, sir. And so lastly, on the infra projects,
you had a question on the margin.
Right, sir.
So we've kept the margin steady, in this business. But of course, it is still in the low single digit. As we've seen, volume growth has started taking place. We've crossed this 500 crores of revenue for the first time. As we get closer to, I think, a number of 700-800 or 1,000 crores, definitely we will be much closer to the double-digit margins, which is our aspiration.
Right, sir. And lastly, on the infra projects business, the order book has sequentially decreased over the past 6-7 quarters from 2,000 odd crores to 1,000 odd crores now. Going forward, in the near term, do we see some kind of demand coming in from telecom or railway? Any project that we're targeting. How would the trajectory look like for infra projects business in terms of the order book and revenue?
You're asking about the non-T&D revenue?
Yes. The infrastructure projects segment.
So the non-T&D is not a significant portion in our order book now. It's a very...
It's 14%.
Yeah, it's only about 14%. That also is again mostly on account of the O&M project that we have, O&M work that we have for the BSNL project that we did. So it's mainly on T&D only that our revenues are coming, and even the infra revenue which you are seeing is largely driven by T&D only.
Very good. That's it from my end. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pranjal Mukhija from Growth Sapphire Ventures LLP. Please go ahead. Pranjal, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, can I'm audible?
Yes,
yes, please proceed.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up. I just have one question. I wanted to confirm something. This additional capacity expansion that we're doing of 75,000 MTPA, it will come live in Q2. So this is the commercialization time frame, right? And like, what are the assumptions around the optimum utilization of this capacity? It will get utilized in maybe a quarter or two?
Yeah, right. I mean, normally to achieve full capacity utilization, it takes a couple of quarters. So I would say from quarter three, perhaps, we can expect to see significant use of this capacity.
Right, and similar to last expansion that we did, it's going to roughly add some 1,200 crore kind of a revenue yearly, right?
Approximately 1,000 to 1,200 crores, yes.
Okay, great, thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you to all the participants. Looking ahead, we are confident of delivering a significant better FY27. A multi-year growth runway ahead lies ahead of us. With a record order book, rising capacity utilization, improving margin profile, expanding export footprint, and a structurally scalable manufacturing base, Skipper is entering a phase where growth, profitability, and return ratios are set to compound together. We appreciate your continued support and look forward to interacting with you again in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.